Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Faster than a speeding Washington bullet, more powerful than a LeBron James narrative, and statistically less relevant than a rebound, it's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast.
Oh my God.
I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at @Don_Denham. With me today, shaking his head, wincing the night away, it is indeed Ruben Tomas at Reddit Mavericks. How'd you like that intro?
Bro, every week I'm like, what's he going to do? And every week it just gets nuttier. I have no idea, bro. I think we're going to hit critical mass soon, though.
So yeah. What realm of nerdy, dumb things am I going to go to next? I have no limit to my nerdiness. So, what do we do now that basketball's dead, Ruben?
We shoot the shit. The next, I think it looks like maybe, 3-4 months?
Do you want to talk free agency rumors? God knows I don't.
No, thank you.
Did you know that there's a good player potentially available next year?
Right? There's...
Did you know there's also another potentially good player that might be available via trade? And people That's are going true. To speculate what terrible... combination of sending away star players to get another seemingly better player but ultimately isn't.
Dude, it's so much, and I know we're gonna get some questions about it just because that's just the nature of basketball Reddit or basketball Twitter. But
basketball Twitter, man, there's so many times where I'm watching or I'm just going scrolling through the timeline and they're like, all right, what about this idea? DeLon Wright, a first round pick, second round pick, and they give us LeBron James. It's hey, what if we swap DeLon Wright for Frank Ntilikina? I'm like, that's the most lateral move I've heard. Aside from then why even make the trade if it's not going to make that big of a difference? You know, like I don't know. Like,
there's a move.
Frank's a good player.
He's a good guy.
But so is DeLon Wright. Like, does he have lapses of judgment? Sure, but like, I don't know. I still feel like there's some Toronto DeLon Wright that can be tapped into that. Or we just have Jalen Brunson. Like, I understand if we're like, all right, let's trade something. I look at it when it comes to trades, like trade something that you have an abundance of to improve in another spot. And I think we have an abundance of guards, or at least since Luka does the majority of the handling, and we have Jalen Brunson, it would behoove us to trade one of those people to get something that we don't have a whole lot of, like, I don't know, wings or bigs or something. Like, that's, I don't know. But I think I know it's the crux of NBA Twitter, and I love all of you. And if you made that suggestion of DeLon Wright to Frank Ntilikina, I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying, like, I'm using those just two examples of either here's insignificant trade that I think will make the biggest difference in that, like trading bench player for bench player, or it's hilariously one-sided, like, all right, we're going to get Maxi Kleber into second round pick and we're going to get Paul George, you know, or
somebody, I don't know, like Bradley Beal, like something like
Bradley Beal is on. It's like, man, I don't know. I have no way of understanding what's going to happen with Bradley Beal. Like everyone wants him on a different team, but it's like, guys, he re-signed there. Like,
yeah, he signed
like,
there. Yeah. He didn't like, have to, like,
I don't know. And if you listen to him, like, it's, I mean, maybe it makes sense for Washington to trade him because he's actually something of value, and they completely shot themselves in the foot with the John Wall contract. But I don't know. I think the biggest improvement for NBA Twitter is just, hey, when you're doing trade speculation, you have to ask, why would either side do this? And if you can't easily ask that, then that trade isn't going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. Like, Again, it's the off season, and I know like content in the off season is fucking bare until like it's like draft night and
sure.
trades happen and shit like that. So, and we have about like a month, almost exactly a month until draft night. So, you know, I have no idea.
Well, and like, I did have a funny moment where I was like, "Hey, bud, you want to go watch the draft tonight?" And my friend that's not into sports is like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." And then I realized it's November 18th, not or 17th. And
yeah,
I was just dead wrong. I was just like, it wasn't even the right day, month, time of the year. So time has no meaning. That's what I'll go with that. So we don't have a lot. Clearly, we don't have a lot of news. We're just, you know, starting off the slide with, or the Schneid. Isn't that a word?
Schneid, yeah.
The Schneid?
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Schneid.
I've heard it in a baseball game, so I have no idea.
Coming off the Schneid, is that the whatever? It does. Yeah, I don't know. Starting off the podcast with that, we don't have too much news that's really Mavs adjacent. The American Airlines Center, where the Mavericks play, did become a Pulse Center, and from what I gather, anyone that went to it had nothing but positive reviews on it. It was super easy. They got in, they got out. Like, we're talking less than 20-30 minute process, which is considering some places are taking hours. I early voted yesterday at the UT, I believe it's the Flotin Academic Center, something like that. I'm probably messing up the name. There was literally no line. I had a lovely conversation with the poll workers that are, you know, dedicating their time to that. They went in there. It was remarkably easy. I got in, got out. It was a less than 2 minute. If I wasn't talking to the poll workers, I would have got out in 30 seconds. But they were just so lovely. I had to converse because, God, I miss human contact. So go out there and vote. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, and if you're in the Dallas area, I voted at a South Garland Library. Literally took maybe like 10, maybe like 5 minutes total. Like, sure. Again, we talked to the poll worker for a little bit. Like, she was just like, oh, like, we've already had, like, she has like a little counter, and she was like, we've had at least like 3,000 people already come by that poll center. And I was like, holy shit, like, that's a lot of people. And I was thinking, oh, it's Saturday, so there's gonna be like long lines everywhere. And I was like, absolutely not, dude. People are like getting their shit done like as soon as possible. So
I mean, not the, like, I was right there with you because I was like, okay, I'm going to early vote. But, you know, I budgeted out. Like, I'm probably going to be there for an hour.
I had my Kindle. I had, you know, just, I was ready to, you know, just like sit there if I needed to. But
I brought this tent. Where's the line? Can I just set up here for a minute?
please early vote. It's very important.
It's so much easier than doing the Election Day thing. Election Day should be crazy this year, but I know in Austin specifically, Travis County has a 97% registration, which is like record breaking from what I understand. It's insane. It's so good. It's like the best it's been in like 30 years. Ultimately, like, it's amazing how, you know, you start discrediting your own voice enough. You don't think it matters, but hey, go out there. At the very least, if you're complaining about politics, at least you did what you could. It's free. It's what you should do. If it's not free, there are several services that are offering free rides to polling places. Look up different voter registration, like websites, things of that nature, where there's like communities that will like help you find a place that's walking distance from your spot. So clearly not the same thing with the drop-off ballot thing. That's a little bit more of a issue in Texas, but anyways, go out and vote like everyone's telling you to, because it's worth it. Let's moving on to other news. We've got you've just recently watched a movie that is Mavericks adjacent.
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds like a family film. I don't know. I don't know if it's Disney or DreamWorks, but I believe it's called Shithouse.
Shithouse. Yes. That's exactly what the movie is called. So family friendly. So the backstory is that Cooper Raff, who is the director, writer, and actor, he does all three. He does all three in this movie. It's his first movie ever. He is actually Skin Wade, you know, the voice of, you know, one of the voices of the Mavericks.
Fantastic.
He's Skin Wade's nephew. And, you know, I'd heard about this movie like a while back, because I remember Skin talking about it on the timeline. The movie actually got picked up by South by Southwest.
Nice.
And won the jury award.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it won it for like narrative, like the narrative one. You know, which is good. You know, like it's awesome. Like, you know, first movie, I think the dude's like 23, 24. You know, just got
very
just,
cool.
Just graduated from college, like did all this stuff. And it's very much like a coming of age almost type of film. Mm. You know, it's about being in college and they never really say where he's at, you know, and I kept trying to figure out like, you know, where he's doing shit at and stuff like that. But, especially just like a kid who kind of like me when I was in college, like missing their family a lot, not really knowing like what the fuck is going on. Like, why am I here so far away when I could just go home, you know, like in the movie, he talks about how, like, if his mom had just said, you know, look, come home, he would have done it, you know? Oh. Or like my first year, because in the movie he's also a freshman too. And my first year, if my mom had told me, "Hey, like come home," I'd be like, "Okay, like I'm gonna go home," you know, for the semester or whatever, like that. It's really good. The acting is really incredible. The dialogue is so. I recently watched a video about like just film dialogue. So, cool. And for those of you guys who don't know, I am like a huge like movie guy. Like I love watching movies, and I love like kind of just like figuring out like the cinematography and, you know, the lighting and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they're talking about in this YouTube video, we're just talking about dialogue and how a lot of movies they'll do like the dialogue isn't really like matching up to how humans actually speak. Mm. You know, like when you're in an argument, like, you know, it's very like, it's just very chaotic. Like people are talking over each other, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of ums like I do, or they just little things that they say that just kind of, sure. You know,
filler words.
Yeah. And so when they were talking, like I was listening to it and I was like, wow, this sounds like super, super naturalistic. And like how, like I would talk to my friends when I was like 19, 20.
That's hard just, to do.
Yeah. You know, and like these, you know, around, I think all the actors around that age, they're maybe like 25, 26, but
sure.
You know, it's really cool. It was really cool to see. And the best part is that one of the Mav shirts is like in full screen, like for like maybe about, I would say maybe about like maybe a 10th or, you know, a 20th of the movie. The main character, he's like, you know, they go to a party, he's talking to this girl and, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I have two shirts. Cause he's wearing like a, you know, like a collared shirt. And then he has like an undershirt and the undershirt's blue. And I'm like, what is that? Is that the shirt? No way. Cause I remember like Skin talking about it one time. And, I was like, no, there's no way that's a shirt. And so eventually they go away from that scene and they hang out later in some, I think in a dorm room. Mm-hmm. And the girl's like, oh, I never saw the shirt. He's like, oh, I'm still wearing it. And he pulls it up and it just says, the time is now.
Oh, that's, you know, awesome.
That's the time is now shirt. And I was like, cool. Like it's in it, you know? And I was like, okay, it's probably the only time we'll see it. And then, I guess, spoiler alert, I guess. Like, you know, some stuff happens and...
Well, yeah, let's let people watch the movie, I would say. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, you eventually just see the shirt a lot in that movie. And it's like, okay, cool. Like,
good to know.
That's awesome, you know? But, I mean, it's a really good movie. Even if there wasn't Mavs adjacent, I would still recommend it.
There's a Mavs shirt in a jersey, we'll talk about it. Or, I'm sorry, there's a Mavs shirt in a movie.
Yeah.
Potentially a jersey, I don't care where it's at. But in a movie, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it a lot. I recommend it. I give it like 4 stars on Letterboxd.
So, nice.
Which is good, you know.
Where did you watch it? Like, where has it been released?
You can rent it on Amazon Prime. You can rent it on YouTube. You can rent it some other ones like Vudu. Okay. Stuff like that.
Good to know.
I know that they had like a small release like here in North Texas, like actual movie theaters, if people are comfortable with that. I want to say like Studio Movie Grill. I want to say Cinemark maybe. Skin tweeted it out yesterday and I was like, oh shit, yeah, that's right. So
if Skin's there, it becomes a Skinamark. Actually, that dial just sounds like a porn theater, so
yeah, we'll scratch like, that. Yeah, we're not using that. Sorry, Skin, you're listening. But yeah, man, it was awesome. I loved it a lot, and I cannot, you know, I might watch it again because it was amazing.
Let's check that out. So that's our movie review corner. That 4-star Letterbox. Check out Shithouse, everybody. You'll see one of the Mavs family adjacent writers, directors, and actors in Shithouse.
Yeah.
Check it out.
As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline.ag. MLB is back, the NBA is back, you know, they're both in full swing, and there's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your wagering experts.
All right, so we've got... we're hoops and hefeweizens. We're typically more hoops than hefeweizen. Now it's off season. We're going to be leaning hard into the hefeweizen. So we want to have like a dedicated beer segment. Right now, the working title is the Brewery Baseline. I have a brewery that I would like to shout out because I've had a great weekend this weekend. And a good portion is because I had a couple of the Zilker Brewing Company Parks and Rec Pale Ale. It is a awesome, they're out of Austin, Texas. They are so goddamn good. To talk about this, like, it's bright, it's citrusy. They use Centennial, Cascade, Chinook, and Crystal hops. It's a pale malt. It is delicious. It is much like Parks and Rec the show, in the sense that it is palatable, it's interesting. I probably laughed sometime while drinking it. And I don't know. It's a damn good beer. You guys should check it out. Check them out at zilkerbeer.com. It is not a sponsor. We're really just wanting to shout out local breweries during the segment and talk beer for a little while to seem a little bit more beer legitimate.
Yeah, and I also have something I want to talk about.
Go for it.
For terms of beer. Sometimes on the timeline, I'll tweet out like pictures of like the beer that I'm drinking, whether I drink a game or watch TV or whatever. Like, I just have, you know, I'll just post them. And I get a lot of questions about like where I'm getting these beers, because half the time they're not like Dallas or even like Texas based. They're just like from other parts of the world or other parts of the US at least. And so the service that I use is called Tavour, T-A-V-O-U-R. I found it randomly through the Untappd app, cool. where I select my beer and stuff like that. And basically what they do is that they get cans or bottles like every couple weeks of just like random beers that they get. And you can just kind of just like load up your crate, I guess. And it used to be that you can only get like six at a time, which I thought was kind of bullshit, because, you know, if I want to put a big order, I couldn't do that.
Right.
Now though, like the last order I put in was I had like 16 beers.
Cool.
You know, last me a while. And you know, so whenever you see like a beer that's like, wait, like it definitely isn't like from a like DFW like beer, it's from Tavour, and I'd highly recommend using it. I would plug in my because I know I get like a code or something like that, and if I give it to you, like I get about so much dollars off, but not really in for that. I'm more just like want to spread the joy of being able to buy beer from all over the world. Like the other day I had a beer from Oregon, from a place called Mainesville, Oregon. And it was an alt beer, which I'd never tried before.
Oh yeah, those are tasty.
Yeah, I've never had one before. So I was like, okay, cool. I've never, you know, it's like pretty hoppy, but it's also like the way they brew it is like super old school and stuff like that. So I thought it was kind
of
cool.
It's more of a malty kind of dark. It's interesting. It's dark without the heaviness to it.
Yeah, it's typically weird. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, because I see it dark, I automatically think it's going to be heavy. Mm-hmm. It was really fucking good. And I would have never tried it if I didn't have the app. So.
Right on. So Tavour, is that right?
Yeah, Tavour, yeah.
T-A-V-O-U-R?
Yes.
Right on. All right. You guys check that out. Tavour, yeah. Explore your beer horizons. Yep. Horizons? No, nope, that sounds like a dumb, like beer themed cell phone company.
Oh, Verizon.
Yeah. Okay, can you hear me? Can you drink it now? Good.
Yeah.
So dumb. All right. Hey guys, just a reminder that if you're looking to bet online, look no further than betonline.ag today. Check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all those welcome back to sports bonuses. Trust me, your wallet and your bankroll will thank you. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. 2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control, but there is one thing you can control, and that's shaving your bush. Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to remind you to do so.
They have the Lawnmower 3.0, which is a premium electric trimmer that also is waterproof and comes with an LED light, so you can manscape in the shower or in the dark. Or in the dark shower for you weirdos that are doing such a thing. They also offer the Shears 2.0, which is a luxury four-piece nail kit. It features a tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tweezers, scissors, clippers. Well, we don't like the clippers too much right now, but also a medium grit nail file. Listeners of the show will get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that front trunk.
So now it's time to get into questions. We got a bunch of good ones this week. Some that are a little more problematic than others, but we'll get to it momentarily. So the first question I want to address is from my friend Connolly, a friend of the podcast. He's been on a couple of times before, and he actually quote tweeted and was like, "Why isn't Connolly on your podcast more often? Is Grant scared that he'll get outshined by him?" Connolly, you're always welcome to come back. You know, just hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on the DMs. Grant being scared, probably not. I wouldn't say so.
I mean, he's an Uber driver. There's nothing scares him. He's seen
he's seen everything, you know. Yeah. He's out there. I would definitely free to come on whenever you want to, man. Just hit me up. You know, we'll set a time and a place, probably virtual, but probably. You know, so yeah. So thank you, Connolly. All right. Next question. I was hoping Squish would be on for this one because I want to see him. She would do it. Sure. Hi, how are you? How are y'all today? Can y'all please stand and do 5 jumping jacks? Also, who would you want to be the next coach of the Dallas Wings? Non-realistic candidates. Answers are welcome, of course.
Well, this will make terrible audio, but all right.
I'm not doing it. So, one, two, three, four, five. There we go. Oh, look at that. Is your heart rate up?
Sure. Yeah. I my downstairs neighbor probably hates me, but it's probably okay.
It's 10 o'clock. You should be awake.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. Dallas Wings, you know, I don't know the coaching landscape of the WNBA as good as I would. Here's my thing. I am a WNBA fan, but I have not watched enough, and I don't know enough about the interworkings of transactions there to be a good voice on this. I will say, I will go with any former Maverick is going to be who I want to see. Like, who knows? Maybe Eddie Nahara, since he's did a little bit of the D-League stuff G-League. Sorry.
Yeah, he has coach. Yeah.
So that could be an interesting thing. As far as like, I don't know the offensive makeup aside from we seem to be a pretty good outside shooting team.
Give the ball to Enrique.
Enrique is just phenomenal. So I would build the offense around her probably if I had to make a guess. So
yeah,
that's probably the best I can answer that one, unfortunately. So go Wings. In my defense, it has been very hard to find Wings games in Austin. It's hard to I have Spectrum. Like, it basically, unless they're on ESPN2, there's like not even a chance of me watching their games.
Catching it,
which sucks because I want to see that. Yeah. And I don't know what the League Pass situation is.
Oh, so yeah. League Pass, you pay, it's like $18 a year.
Oh God, then I'm doing that next season.
Next, I might automatically renew just in case like I'm not home and I can just pull up my phone, you know. Perfect.
Because I've every game I've watched, I've enjoyed.
It's a fun league. For me, again, like I'm like Don, where I don't know like kind of the landscape of like the coaching situations over there. I actually had to look up to see like they did release Brian Agler.
Yes, I saw that they released your coach.
Yeah, I saw that. So I was like, okay, but I have no idea, man. Like, I think honestly, because I know everybody wants like Dirk to join our coaching system, but I think it'd be kind of cool just for him to do that, you know, just get his feet wet, you know, coaching, doing that, and then, you know, like he knows Satu, like, you know, like they're from Germany too, like she's also a power forward, you know, a big, so
right.
I think that'd be cool for me personally. Again, like I don't know the landscape too well, so I don't really, you know, it's almost like with the Mavs and me where like I don't pay attention to, like, to the league at large for the most time.
I'm a little bit more NBA obsessed, but that's just because it's just in my feeds more.
So I would go with Dirk just to see how he would do. So,
yeah, it'd be fun.
Thank you, Grace.
I don't know. Evan Eschmeyer. What's
Evan Eschmeyer.
See what he's doing, you know? I don't know if he's qualified to coach at all.
All right, let's see. Next question comes from Rutuj. Rutuj asked a good one because I know your answer already to this one, but if you had to make a football, meaning soccer, team compromising of current or former Mavs, who would it be or what would it be? He actually has a really good list. So
we'll have them check that out. I think that it's a bit of a long list. So for my top 11 would just be Steve Nash 11 times. I think you would sacrifice some things in defense. So actually here, I'll actually go with, are they called linebackers in the back? Like what's the defensive positions of soccer?
Center backs, center backs.
So center back, two Deshaun Stevensons, and the goalie will be Tyson Chandler. And then everyone else is Steve Nash. I think ultimately, because that's what you're looking for in soccer. It's not like one guy being more athletic than the rest. It's like everyone being five steps ahead of each other. And Steve Nash was always five steps ahead in the chess match that is basketball. And he already plays soccer. So if you have, I think if you got nine Steve Nashes, or I guess it would be eight Steve Nashes and two Deshaun Stevensons that are just wrecking people, sliding tackles when they don't need to, then I think ultimately, that just sounds like they could see through the future. They could probably predict the weather if they really wanted to. Like, that's all I have to say about that.
So for me, I was actually looking at his list and I was like, damn, like he kind of put most people, like most of the players that I would put, you know.
Sure. Where did he have them?
So like goalkeeper, he has Dennis Rodman, which I was like, fuck, that's good. But I would probably put more size there. For me, I would have probably put someone would have put Tyson there, honestly. Tyson or maybe even Crystal. I don't know. One of those two. Like I need
some lanky bastard that can block shots.
Sure. Yeah. You know, for left back, Jay Crowder, again, a fucking perfect pick.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a better choice.
Center back, Kristaps and Tyson Chandler, which is perfect because center backs usually tall ass motherfuckers
who are there. I wouldn't put them out in the field aside from goalie because, they're just a liability with their knee problems. Like, are you kidding me? Those guys are human erector sets. There's no way that's going to fly in a soccer match. You can undercut them like crazy.
Right back, he had the Jet, which is, again, perfect because that motherfucker is a scorer.
Sure.
For center defense, he put Sean Marion. Again, amazing, fantastic.
Makes sense.
Center midfielder, Steve Nash and Jason Kidd. Again, fucking perfect.
There you go.
Center attacking midfielder, of course, Luka. Like, has to be.
That does make sense.
Yeah. So, it was great. I would probably put someone with just more length at goalkeeper, but that's just me. Yeah. Dennis Rodman's great. But
also kind of a deep cut because not a lot of people realize that he played for the Mavericks. I did hear an amazing story about Dennis Rodman. I think it's from one of the Forgotten Mavs podcasts, but basically, I can't remember which player it was, but basically they just signed Dennis Rodman. And they're like, hey, or I think it was like their old equipment manager, something like that. He's like, hey, Worm. He goes like, hey, what's up, bro? And he's like, what are you doing? He's just like, just got to get warmed up. And so this dude is in full G's. He's in full street gear. Like he's not in basketball, whatever. He's wearing combat boots. The guy goes onto a treadmill, puts it at the highest speed you can do it and full incline and just sprints for 20 minutes in combat boots. Gets off the treadmill, is like, all right, bro, I'm ready. And then goes and gets ready. What an absolute psychopath. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Wait, so I forgot. So Rutuj also had two strikers.
Who were the forwards?
Dirk and Finley. strikers. Oh. Like, the court that makes fucking tolls. Like,
I don't know. I've seen Dirk play soccer. It's like watching a giraffe cut in half running around
you
the
know
field.
What?
It's fine. So
it's fine. It's fine. Don't listen to him, Dirk, if you're listening.
I have any animosity towards Dirk. Come on now.
All right, next question comes
thank
from
you, Rutuj.
Yeah, thank you, man. That was a good you gave the best answer. So I was like, fuck, okay. Like,
yeah, you put thought and consideration into your question, and we're just two chuckle fucks figuring, you know, being silly in front of microphones. So thank you, Rutuj.
See, next question comes from Jennifer. What's your current go-to alcohol and where can I find it?
Okay. I mean, that isn't beer, because typically when someone says, can I have an alcohol?
Yeah, I'm thinking beer.
Some sort of liquor. I'm more a whiskey guy, but weirdly enough, a tequila person as well. The two things that I just cannot have are vodka and rum. Rum gives me an immediate headache. Vodka just, I don't know, it doesn't taste good, and there's other things that get you drunk, so why do it? So let's see. Different sorts of whiskeys that I've enjoyed. A go-to, I mean, I've been drinking less, so that's kind of hard to say. Bullet's always a good standard. I like a Bullet rye. That's something that I like to sip on with ice, but if we're going a little bit more, oh God, what did I have earlier? I did get as a birthday gift from Mr. Thomas Clayton, I did get Booker's small batch bourbon, and it is fantastic. It is super, super good. You can find that in probably Specs. It's in a cool little wooden box. It's not as pricey as it would sound as far as like the decor of it, but it is absolutely delicious. It's a little bit more caramelly. I drink whiskey on the rocks. That's my drink. So I don't need no mixer. That's how I got this beard. I had just one like it was painful. It just immediately appeared.
So my favorite.
Yeah,
or the current one that's not beer. I don't drink it a lot just because it's like it's something you gotta share with like family and friends, and obviously we can't do that right now with the pandemic. So it's almost like a family tradition where we drink this tequila called a Corlejo, which is it's just a nice, like, they sell it here in the States now. Back in the day, back before I could legally drink, you couldn't buy it here. You know, they start importing it, like, I think around 2007, 2008. It's just super smooth. It reminds me a lot of, like, just, like, hanging out with my family, hanging out with my friends, you know, stuff like that, hanging out with my cousins. And you can find it. I think you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells liquor, I'm pretty sure. I know you can find it at Total Wine. Goody Goody has, I know that for a fact. That's where I usually would go get mine. Yeah, it's a really good tequila, in my opinion. So that's my answer for that question. Thank you, Jennifer, for asking that question. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's really nice. It's cool that your family has a liquor of choice.
Yeah, it's what we drink when we're all together. So
that's very cool.
Let's see, Renegade Jim, who is a Renegades fan, the XFL team that's no longer around at the moment, but we'll see.
God, what a heartbreak. Like, I know. They were actually doing well.
Yeah, they're like, doing it. It seems like they're doing okay. Like
they were enough to, like, all right, we can at least try out a second season. They're like, no.
Well, The Rock bought them out, so maybe The Rock will bring them back. But he asks, this isn't really a question, more of a statement, but he had a question mark at the end because it's hilarious. But okay. he said, can't stand Lakers fans, ?
I think there's two annoyances for me specifically with Lakers fans, specifically this year, is them, any of their notions of like, God, we've suffered for so long, you know, any like where it's just like, yeah, you suffered through D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle, like whatever, or like the Lonzo Ball saga was that painful. It's like, you guys were still middle of the pack. Like, it's not like you guys were slumming it. I mean, like, yes, the Kobe injury, of course not notwithstanding his death, is obviously like a big deal. But like, I'm talking like mid, I guess 2010. Yeah. The 2010s. It's just like, whatever. Like, you guys got like, basically you were just made a lot of bad moves, and now eventually those moves went in your favor. So
yeah.
I guess the other thing is that I'm with Bill Simmons on the 17 titles claim, because they count five of the Minnesota Minneapolis Lakers. It's just like, yeah, George Mikan, like, we're gonna claim that? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's, I don't know. It's just like, that's not even like, I think once your team moves, like, does OKC celebrate that the Sonics got a title in the 70s? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's still like, you're still arguably like the best basketball franchise that's ever existed as far as that's concerned. I mean, like, if you're talking just rings and the amount of Hall of Famers that you've had on your teams, and yeah, like, California's geographically probably the best place for any basketball team. So
yeah,
good job. I don't know. I've got some friends that are Lakers fans, and how I'm still friends with them remains to be seen, but I don't know. It's another big market thing. They're the New York Yankees of
basketball. Yeah. You know, so, I know a lot of Cowboy Lakers, you know, New York fans.
That I will say that, like, being a Cowboys fan is like, anytime I say that, I'm like, listen, I know. It's like, I wish there was a different team that I watched with my dad, but just happened to be the Cowboys.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Could have easily been the Detroit Lions, but nope.
Nope. It's, had to be the Cowboys.
It's Dallas.
I mean, so for me with the, I don't know, man, with the Laker fans, like, I think, like, I purposely remove myself a lot from, like, sports, like, that's not, like, for me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't even see any of this stuff. Like, I know some people, like, I see people, like, bitch and complain on Twitter, and I'm like, I don't see any of that, because I don't follow anybody who, you know, will tweet that, you know? Or if I do, sure, I just meet them, you know? But, you know,
there's, it's just so many Lakers jersey photoshops of so many different players.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one about Luke, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to go and just, because someone, the only reason why I saw that one was because someone sent it to me, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to fucking, I'll tweet something for clout real quick.
Oh.
But I mean, you know, it is what it is. And I was like, whatever, dude. Like, no, because of Lakers fans, like, fuck them. Like, I don't care. Like, whatever, I don't know, man. Like, you guys got to deal with, like, fucking, what do you call it? Earthquakes and shit. So, you know, got to deal with it. But it's whatever. All right, let's see. Next question comes from Sean. Sean asks, favorite drink of 80 proof or better? I already said my answer earlier. It's Cordell.
Most bourbons are 80 proof, or there's a lot of bourbons that are 80 proof. Knob Creek is another great whiskey to try. Like, yeah. There's one that I think they have that's like 120 proof or something. Jesus. Astounding. Yeah, it'll singe your eyebrows.
Nah, dude. No, thank you. Let's see. Next question comes from Ricky.
Okay.
Ricky asks, which current or former Mavericks player do you see going into Shark Tank and trying to get a deal from Mark Cuban? Also, if you guys can give opinions on what the business and also if you guys can give opinions on what the business and the player is. My player would be Dirk Nowitzki having an ice cream truck business with face paintings. That sounds like fucking Dirk. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
I like that. I like the, that's a good touch with the ice cream truck.
I would say,
Deshaun, do you guys want the Ninja Turtles or do you want the SpongeBob?
So we had a paletero, a guy selling ice cream, come by my parents' house yesterday. And I was like, and you know, we're all hanging out on the porch, or whatever. And I'm just like, holy shit. Like, I want something, you know? And so I go and I'm like, oh shit. And I was like, oh, do they have the Spider-Man with the gummies? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, we don't have the gummies anymore. And I was like, damn it.
Ugh.
I was like, okay, I'll take it without the gummies then. You know, just like, no shit. Like, I was like, I'm almost 30, guys. And I'm trying to fucking eat. I don't know. Anyway. The guy that I would think would have a really good business would be, Jason Stevenson starting a MMA dojo.
Ooh, that's like a great one. I like that. Like,
And I think Mark Cuban would funnel that and have like there are players like go.
A Deshaun Dojo.
Exactly. Yes, Deshaun Dojo. And he would Mark Cuban would absolutely help fund that. And he would absolutely like force like some of our players to go and just learn some tough techniques, you know, for to take care of our boys. So
those are very good. All right, let's see. Are to make up one. I mean, like Ryan Brokoff account services and auditing services to help you with your tax refund. I don't know. It's the best I can come up with off the top of my head.
Bro, he'd be good at that. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, it'd be Ryan Brokoff tax services and tech support. I think he's got that down on lock.
Bro, I could do both of those.
Maybe a math tutor. Yeah,
that'd be on the side.
Like, yeah, exactly. Is your brain broke? We'll make your brain broke off.
Oh, that's good. That...
I don't know. I don't know if that's good.
Let's see. Next question comes from James. Oh, James. James Grambo. He always...
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He is pitching 100 miles per hour now. Now that we've called him out publicly, he's just like, all right, fuckers. Here's some questions for you. I love it. I keep it coming, James.
Yeah, so this is the problematic one I was talking about earlier. But he says, what is the most accurate stereotype?
And I did see someone comment. He goes, like, consequently, what's the best racial slur?
And my answer to that was honky. So just such a funny-ass word.
God, it's so good. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Most accurate stereotype. So, James, I don't know if you're trying to make me go against trying to talk about Mexicans or make me want to...
I got one.
Okay,
I think any white player will have one or two descriptions of it. He's got deceptive athleticism. Is one of my favorites. Anytime that they mention he's a really hard worker,
like a blue collar guy.
He's a blue collar guy. It's my guy.
accurate stereotypes. This is me personally, but I'm late to a lot of things, not work, but just like when it comes to like hanging out and stuff like that. Like if you tell me, hey, be there like at 5, I will probably text you at like 4:55 and be like, I'm going to be late.
That's fair.
And I'll get there like at 4:15. And that's like I don't know, like if it's like a whole Mexican thing, but I've heard people tell me that it's like a Mexican thing. Like other Mexicans tell me that this is a Mexican thing. And I'm like, I don't know, bro, like whatever. But like, I realized like, hey, I actually am kind of late to a lot of things. Like a lot of like hangout stuff when it's like professional stuff or like even like going to games, like I'll try to get there early. But if it's like, oh, like we're going to hang out this time, like it's a soft 5 minute, 5 o'clock time. Okay, cool. Like
sure.
I'm going to get there at 5:15 because whatever, but that's one for me.
I will say, can we just say, of all humanity, if it's a hangout and it's not like a big deal, like if you guys are going to something, if it's a reservation, if it's something that's like prescient, then like, yeah, get there on time or early. Yeah. But like, I think getting on time and getting early, that's for things that make you money. That's for things that are like a professional thing. If you're just hanging out, like I think everyone deserves a 30 to 45 minute window. I'm sorry. It's just like, it's what are you guys doing that requires that much time? It's different if it's like a dinner or like, hey, I still want it to be warm when people show up or whatever. But if it's just like, hey, let's come over and watch TV and drink, like, does it matter that starts 30 or 40 minutes later? Like, no, it's like, probably fine.
Or like, hey, let's go to Buzz Brews and watch some Mavs games. Like,
totally. Like, yeah. And it's like, also when it comes to watching sports anywhere, like the first half doesn't really matter. I mean, I'd like to be there during kickoff or tip off or whatever, but like you can figure it out by the second quarter, how it's going. It's a long time. Like anyone that's like, hey, you want to watch a baseball game? It's like, cool. Can we show up at the seventh inning? Because I don't want to watch all the rest of it. Oh, I really want to see our starting pitcher pitch 5 innings and just, really dissect the pitch count.
And then, God. And then I have to go to the bullpen, whatever it's called.
Also, the Astros lost, so all is right in the world.
Yeah, so it was awesome. Fuck yeah. I'm so happy about that. Hopefully the Dodgers win today. I need them to win.
Why, you got your bookie on there?
No, just my dad's a big Dodgers fan.
Oh, okay. So that's sweet.
It'd make him happy if they won.
I hope your dad's happy too.
I do too. Anyway, next question comes from Chris Lopez, who, by the way, just had. Yeah, you say. Yeah.
Well, he's got a newborn, baby girl, if I'm not mistaken.
Baby girl.
Yeah. Congratulations, so, Chris. Could not happen to a nicer dad. Like he's already up there when it comes to like wholesome dad content.
Yeah, like, he's already there when it comes like, you know. But now that he has a baby girl, now he's a girl dad. It's going to be even better, you know. Like.
Okay, so I don't know what's stronger, his tractor or just the amount of dad strength he has now.
I don't know.
Because, like, he's got, like, baby boy dad strength is pretty good. Like, you gotta, like, stop them from, like, jumping off tables and stuff. But, like, now he's got, like, the protective, like, okay, now I'm a girl dad. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think if we're going to, like, hire offensive linemen for the Dallas Cowboys, I think Chris Lopez has got to be, like, a top draft pick. Absolutely. Like, put him under center. That's how you protect your franchise quarterbacks. Put a dad in there.
Let's see. So his question.
Sorry,
he says, favorite video game of all time. Mine was the original Final Fantasy VII. Fucking great.
I was gonna answer that too.
I love the franchise. I definitely spent the most time playing this one when it came out in 97, and he had to find every single item.
That's awesome. That's very good. That's a great choice.
I was never that dedicated to that fucking game, but it's a good game. But let me think, man.
I think the first one that I was really dedicated to completing everything, it's either got to be Grand Theft Auto San Andreas or Fallout 3. That's kind of dating me on that one, but those were the two that I mean when I had the time to put that much time into video games, those were the two that I put the most time in.
Let's see, I think the first game where I was just like, I have to fucking finish this, where I have to like, I would literally, like, wake up. I literally wouldn't go to sleep until, like, 4 in the morning.
Right.
Playing it on my Game Boy was Pokemon Crystal.
Oof. Was any of the, like, Pokemon games. Yeah.
Definitely. Like, Pokemon Crystal, because it, like, had the best of both worlds. Like, I had a brand new world, and you had to find this new Pokemon. And then you can go back and go, like, to the old world and, like, find all the Pokemon from there. Just, like, it was great. I remember, like, me and my cousin, he also had, like, that game. Where he had like a different version of that generation, and we would spend the night at each other's houses and play until like fucking 5 or 6 in the morning, and like trading each other our Pokemon, stuff like that. So that's probably the first game where I was just like, yeah, that's why. And I go back to it too, like, now computers are so, like, the computers are so, like, powerful where you can just download the ROM. Mm-hmm. It takes, like, up so little space, so I have it on my MacBook actually. And so I haven't played in a while, but, like, sometimes I'll get the itch. I'm like, oh, I want to play it again. So I'll just, like, boot it up and, like, play it like I was when I was, like, 10. So.
Well, what's amazing is just, like, how much technology's advanced to a point to where, like, you know, for me, I was like, okay, I need a game. Like, I was obsessed with, like, Pokemon Yellow with, like, the original Game Boy.
Yeah.
And, like, I had, like, a little brick. And it's, like, kids can now have access to, like, all Game Boy games that have ever existed, and it's like an app on your phone. It, like, doesn't even take up that much space.
It's so crazy, dude.
It's like, God, what it takes to compute those kind of graphics was like, you know, like a computer that's like 6 feet tall. Now it's just in the air. Now it's just a cloud. I don't understand it.
Next question comes from Bibbs.
Bibbs.
I love Bibbs. And you have y'all, dude.
We've been way past due. Yeah. He's even said that he wants to do it. We just haven't done it.
I know. I'm so sorry, Bibbs. I'm so sorry. I'll talk to you sometime this week. Yeah. Bibbs asks, how long are you and Grant giving me to write the scripts? And how much do you think we could raise in a crowdfunding campaign to get it made?
So which script is he referring to?
Yeah. So for those of you guys who don't know or don't follow Grant or Bibbs, Grant, he's an Uber driver. He does that, you know, just get some money. And Grant, he gets, like, so all of the reviews after rides are anonymous, apparently. And so this one, I guess, this one person left a review saying, oh, the Uber driver was really hot. And I'm like, okay. And so, you know, that's one thing by itself. And so Bibbs came in and was like, hey, I'm gonna make them to a script basically. And he like wrote out like basically how like it would be like, you know, Grant kind of just like driving, you know, driving, kind of trying to like basically Ubering the entire time, trying to pick this one girl back up. And there was like something with like it being like a group of friends and finding out that it was like one of the friends in the group or something like that. And Bibbs was like, I'm gonna write myself in as the funny friend. And I was like, oh my God, Bibbs. And I was like, I think I don't know how long it would take to write a full script, mm-hmm. including edits and like, you know, revisions and shit like that. I'd give you a good like month to write out like the initial scripts and like another month to do all the editing. So I guess 2 months would be like that. That would be it.
An uplifting story?
Oh my God, I hate it. Also, because Grant writes for Uber, not for
shit. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
But
they would would, if they were to get married, would they ride share their life together?
It would be. That'd be a good line for you know, for a pastor or something. But
we give the relationship 5 stars and would recommend.
So you're asking how much would it be crowdfunding? How much would we could buy?
Tens of dollars.
I think honestly, dude, we might be able to pull 1,000 out of this. That'd be a super, super slow indie budget film, but you know.
I just don't know what it takes to make a movie. We should consult Cooper Raff and be like, hey, yeah, how much for this Uber romance?
Yeah, how much could you make this? Like, I would want to be executive producer though. That would be like my thing. I wouldn't want to direct anything. I just want to be like the guy who like head says, hey, I like this, hey, I don't like this, you know?
And yeah, I don't know. The executive I understood that a producer is the person that basically brought funding to this thing. Like they're the person that is providing the funding. Executive producer has always been a confusing term because I'm always like, well, we're giving the director credit for certain things. How much of this was the executive producer going like, can we throw a big spider into the mix, you know, or whatever.
Oh, I know that movie. That's Wild Wild West, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. That's good. Yeah, good call.
The movie fucking sucks in retrospect, but that scene was awesome.
Yes. Did you hear Kevin Smith's spiel on that? Like,
yeah,
he
was like it was Superman, right?
Yeah, he was trying to write a Superman script, and like the producer he was writing for was just like, you know, I'm just seeing him fight a big spider, and like eventually like that just became a creative speed bump in any writing room, and eventually just like, I can't do this, I'm not gonna write a spider fighting scene. And of course, like the next movie he produced was Wild West. Big ass spider,
big mechanical spider, so you know, steampunk spider. But
oh man,
all right, let's see. Vin Beam asks, here's a good what if basketball used the same out of bounds rules as soccer? How would the game change? So basically what happens is, and you pulled up the Wikipedia like definition of it, but when a ball is played completely across one of the outside lines, the ball is out of bounds and play stops completely. There must be visible grass between the ball and the white line for the ball to be considered out of bounds. If the ball is touching the white line, it's still in play. Mm-hmm. And in basketball, if the ball touches the black line, it's out of play. Like, you know, that's like that's out of bounds.
Right.
I don't think it would change too much, but I know for a fact there are like plays that have happened where it's like, oh, like his foot was on the black line, or the ball was like on, you know, the ball was on the black line, so now it's out of bounds. And I don't know how much that would change the course of like NBA games, but
I think things that people people underestimate with basketball is how important stoppages of play is. Because it is such a fast pace, it's a game of bursts. Yeah. And it's a game, like as much as soccer is a game of movement and it just continues, like when it comes to like the, you know, the ball being out of play and then, or like, cause I think in soccer, the player can be out of play as long as the ball isn't, right? Like, so you can technically be out of bounds and still kick the ball that's still in bounds. So I don't know, like as much as I don't care for or the out of bounds, like, oh, the guy's foot was on the line kind of thing. It's just like, I don't know. I like a good rule set. I don't see a reason to change it necessarily. But what would happen if it were, I think timeouts would be used more often because now it's no longer that stoppage of play whenever somebody goes out of bounds or like that change of possession. So substitutions would be weirder. I think also the speed of the game would be up more, but I think ultimately, like, because guys are no longer getting that short break to catch their breath, it's probably a slower game because they're not going full blast, knowing that just because it's out of bounds, that doesn't mean people stop. So yeah. That's my two cents on that.
Let's see. Next question comes from Dave. Dave asks, if Tim Hardaway Jr. opts out, what exactly should the Mavs do? Sign for a three-year, about $45 million. Go for Jeremy Grant with the money. Stay put until 2021. Something else entirely.
I like the fit, Jeremy Grant. I mean,
I think it's
also really easy to fall in love with certain role players just because they've been a benefactor of not being the focus point of an offense. So you're thinking like, oh, this guy will definitely translate in this scenario. Because, I mean, like, if you're on a team with Jokic and Jamal Murray, you're not being guarded all that hard. Like, you're going to be rarely the focus point of that, you know, that scenario. So you can either benefit from that. And who knows, if you were to be in an offensive situation with Kristaps and Luka being the focus point. So I don't know. I've seen him kind of wilt in some big games. He's just really inconsistent. So I see that as a fairly lateral move with Tim Hardaway. And I think Tim Hardaway's just improved each year. I would love to keep him. I'm a fan of continuity. As much as I like Jeremy Grant and these potential upgrades for the Mavericks, I think really where we need it is the back end more than like our starting five, because I think our starting five is pretty damn solid. And I would bet on our current starting five improving together would be better than throwing in a new player in there that's going to make that leap bigger. You know what I mean? So if Jeremy Grant comes in, then you're looking at less minutes for Dodo and Maxi Kleber, which ultimately, like, I think they still have potential for growth. I don't think they're like, okay, you know what you're getting from them. I still think there's some upside with both of them.
Yeah. For me, I don't think Tim Hardaway, I don't think he will opt out. He might, I don't know. I'm not.
I wouldn't opt out of anything this year. Yeah. Especially since, like, we don't know what the cap space looks like.
Yeah. I'd rather have a guaranteed money, like, right there and there.
Sure.
Yeah. But you know, if you were to, Jeremy Grant is super interesting to me. I know he's just like a defensive presence that would be needed. And, I think anyone who plays next to Luka, they improve. That's just like,
they'll get better.
It's almost like mathematically like proven at this point, you know, if not already. So if he were to opt out, I would absolutely like just be okay, fine. You know, I think Jeremy Grant would be a great addition to us, going forward, and especially if it's like a long contract, like the continuity factor wouldn't be as like disrupted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one piece, and you know, they would have the rest of the summer, or not summer, but off season, trying to get things going. They would have preseason hopefully to get things going, you know, try to figure things out. And you know, Rick is always tinkering with stuff. Like, Rick didn't seem to have like everything he wanted up until. Everything he wanted to do with the lineup up until our first round series, it seemed like. Once the first round series started, it was like, okay, like, who the fuck I'm going to be going with, like, the entire time. So he's constantly tinkering anyway, which is great for some aspects, bad for other ones, as we all know.
Well, it does make sense to get some defensive wing help when we're facing someone like Kawhi and Paul George, you know, or who are we going to throw at LeBron? And. Yeah. Who are we, like, if we're going to want to make that second round push, we're going to need to find some legit defensive stoppers. And Jeremy Grant seems to at the very least be a good high effort guy that doesn't shoot terribly from 3 points. So, I like the fit. I really do. But, if it's I'm getting Jeremy Grant at the expense of Tim Hardaway, I don't know if I love that.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. I think today's day for him to, for Tim to decide. Even opt in or not, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure.
No.
But all right. Next question comes from Nick. Who was better, Kobe or Tim Duncan?
It's, you know, I think Kobe is why let me preface this. I think with Tim Duncan, he's the best power forward, like front, like one of like a, obviously a Hall of Famer, but like he was someone that was so good for so long. And I think the only reason I would say better positionally than Kobe is that just because of how many more guards Kobe is having to like be better than, like, you know, it's like, was Kobe better than Jordan? No. Well, was anybody better than Tim Duncan at his position? And I argue no. I mean, just also, I don't know, it's weird because like Tim Duncan is kind of a center power forward.
Yeah.
He's kind of a tweener, which is weird. So it's hard to put him strictly in the power forward range. Cause it's like for him and Kevin Garnett to play the same position feels weird because they don't play the same at all. Yeah. It's same with Dirk, even like Dirk versus Tim Duncan still feels like, you know, doesn't quite feel like a match to match as far as like their skill set. Cause like, I don't know if I've seen a better post offensive player as well as someone that was so good at just being a team player at that position, you know, whether that he wasn't like, he was an offensive focus for a good portion of it, but also to like, sorry, like dude won a championship. It was his rookie year in 99 with the Knicks. Yeah. And it's like, for someone to compliment a player like David Robinson that well and play virtually at like that position, but better and have an immediate impact straight out of college. And then just not really have a dip until like what, his 20th season, like whatever his last season, he was washed, but it's like, but God, he's like the fact that he had like those last like 4 years, you know, was it 14, 15. I'm sure I'm getting the years wrong, but like that, Tim Duncan was pretty damn great during those finals runs too. And at that late of an age at a position that was heavily undervalued, like, I don't know. I mean, Kobe is great. And like, he's always like, it feels weird to pick a Spur over a Laker. So it's like two pairs of dirty underwear for me.
Yeah.
but I mean, I don't know. I think basketball wise, I'll go Tim Duncan. If we're going to go like, who is clearly culturally more relevant, I'm going to go Kobe. So maybe it's kind of splitting hairs here.
Also, Tim Duncan won his first finals in his third year.
Yeah. Oh, his third year. Sorry.
Looks like it. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It was like, who,
late like, 90s basketball, not my thing.
Yeah. It's like, who was better, Kobe or Tim? I mean, those players are so – you really can't compare.
It's an oranges to apples kind of thing.
Like, you really can't compare like them as like – but even as a basketball player, you can't compare them just because like they play completely different positions. Had, you know, like, yeah, Kobe was like, Kobe's been the offensive, like, you know, centerpiece, you know, basically his entire career with the Lakers. And Tim Duncan was, you know, for a portion of it, like you said earlier. And it's just hard, man. Like, it's almost like who would you prefer? You know, like,
sure. And I mean, like, there's a lot of different scenarios where you could go either way, where it's like, do you want to start a franchise with one of them and you know like what their career is, you know, or you know what's time period, because I think like Tim Duncan would have been that dominant basically any time period prior to now, like, you know, throw him in the 70s, he's the best player. Like with Kobe, like that, his skill set, I don't know, it's so weird because like I also respect the mental approach that he had to the game. Like I like the over, like your Jimmy Butler-esque like psychopathic competitive people where it's just like, I want to be the best. But also like there was a lot of years when Kobe was the best player on his team and arguably like they didn't produce.
During the 2000s. Yeah.
Well, and there was a good point where a good 2 to 3 year period was like, yeah, guys just don't want to play with Kobe because he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And like, again, no disrespect to the guy. It's just, he's still 5 rings. Like, I don't know. It's like both are top 10 players. Where you put them is like I would probably agree with any order in that point. You know.
But I think for the sake of the question though, I will say that I think better like as a player, I think overall probably would have been Tim. Just because, you know, you bond to the system super early and just like kept going and you know, so
just such a wider defensive skill set than Kobe. Yeah. Kobe was an amazing scorer and like eventually got, you know, better on defense and things of that nature. But like, I mean,
Tim Duncan was always just dominant on both sides of the court and then just got better.
Yeah.
Also an amazing passing big man. That's something that's underrated with him.
Let's see. Next question comes from Sammy. Sammy asks, why can't we have Prime Dirk and Luka together?
Because God hates us.
Yeah, the universe would just collapse on itself if that were to happen. So I'd rather not upset the universe at this point because, man, they're giving it to us now.
So, I don't think even Mavericks fans appreciated Prime Dirk in that time period. You know, like, I still think, like, and it's so amazing looking back at, like, 2007 footage. I'm like, Jesus, this dude was driving to the rim. Like, just a 7 foot, like, he was doing Giannis-esque stuff at, you know, when he was in his mid-20s.
In 2007.
Like, you know? Right. And it was, and I don't know. It's almost like the game hadn't caught up to how awesome Dirk was. Like, he, because basically Avery Johnson was like, you need to develop a post game. And he ended up having an amazing one. But, like, it's amazing how, had the game changed like 5 years sooner when it came to like the whole spacing aspect of it, like how much more dominant would Dirk would have been? Cause you're basically looking at a Karl Anthony Towns skill set with a Porzingis 3-point range and like a consistent post game that no one can stop. And he could drive, like, I don't know. Still, I still think like the thing that all Mavs fans and basketball was deprived of was a Steve Nash Dirk pairing without the hand check rule. Like that's where basketball started to change, and we never got a chance to see that, which I think would have been really fucking cool.
Yeah, I wish we could have seen Prime and Dirk and Luka together. I don't know. Maybe I'll write a thing for the article, or an article about that. I don't know. Maybe I'll write just a short story.
Sure. Yeah, we'll write some Dallas Mavericks fanfic.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. It's off season, guys. So
sure.
I'll do
the reading for it.
Yeah. Last question comes from Giannis Stan. Nice. What is the stupidest rule in the NBA in your opinion? I think it's stupid. You can call a timeout at any time.
Stupidest rule.
I think the rule that always upset me was when I would play 2K. And I made like a power forward because I, you know, wanted to be Dirk-esque basically. And I would put my back to the basket, you know, back to the basket. And after like, I think it's like 5 seconds, like they call, you know, a violation on that because back to the basket violation. I always hated that shit. I always hated that for some reason. I don't know why. Just like,
sure.
I think I was trying to teach the system. I don't know. Like,
yeah, there's also like, I think that rule's like the Charles Barkley rule because at one point he could just pound into a guy for 10 seconds and then like eventually either dunk on him or turn around for a layup because he was just so strong. I don't know. I've liked most of the rule changes for the NBA. I'll say that the charge rule, I wouldn't even say it's the rules. It's more rep consistency is what I have a bigger issue with. Like, when it comes to contact and creating contact and the whole, like, I think you got to give defenders a better means to defend offensive players. I know that's like, you know, counter to what the NBA wants. We want more scoring. We want, you know, that's what keeps people watching. But James Harden has soured so much of what I think, like that whole Daryl Morey gaming the refs strategy always pissed me off, like the whole flailing your legs and still getting that call when you're shooting a 3-pointer. And it's just like, cool. Basically, any rule that leads to more free throw shooting is ultimately something I don't like about the NBA. Because if there's something that I don't... If you're to drive to the basket, that is an exciting basketball play. When you are running and trying to score, and then someone hurts or like someone hits you on the way up, that allows for an potentially exciting play of either a dunk, a layup, or an and one. You should be rewarded with free throws for that. If you are just driving near the basket and just toss it up and it's just like in your flailing and it's like, okay, that's not a good basketball play. And then it leads to an even less interesting play, which is watching a dude shoot free throws. I don't know. The bailout calls is what really frustrates me. It stops the pace of the game. It's ultimately just kind of rewarding tricking the refs more than it is like, did this guy beat his man or not? Did this guy make a good play? I don't know.
I do think one thing I would change, though. Okay, so like, You know how you can get like you can get fines and stuff like that for like flagrants and stuff, right?
Sure.
I think if that happens, I think the next game you should start off with like one or two fouls. Instead of getting fined, because the fines aren't even that, you know, massive for the most part. Just like,
yeah, unless you're like fining a rookie, it's like, yeah, it really doesn't make that big of a difference.
But I'm saying, like, if you just start off with like, you start the game with like one or two fouls from the get go for the next game, like,
well,
it's kind of like, so, kind of like the red card, you know?
So when it comes to the league fines, supposedly that goes to like charity, doesn't it? Like, that's not,
I guess I have no idea.
I would love to have an audit as far as
like where the money goes,
primarily because I think, like, from what I gather, it is like the fines go to charity or go towards the league and the league designates it. But like, I think it'd be a hilarious pitch of like, who's the most
charitable
who's the most charitable player of the NBA. It's just like, wow, like,
it was Draymond for a while, wasn't it?
Draymond has he's built houses for the homeless. He's responsible for this entire neighborhood thanks to his technical flaws. Or you know, Marcus Morris actually rebuilt this elementary school.
Yeah, you know, like, good guys. Like,
yeah, thanks to this guy's flagrant fouls, these kids now all have a new MacBook.
I wish they would actually. I would love to see an audit of that. Just like, where does the money go? Like, who's?
I mean, I feel like it's probably going to be a little less interesting. It's just going to be like, oh, okay, it paid for this fucking tax write off or whatever.
Yeah, But
or I don't know. It's just like, here's the flagrant fund. It's like, now these kids have
flagrant fund.
Yeah, NBA harms instead of NBA.
Could you imagine an orphanage just like rooting for like Marcus Morris to.
Make the game more violent so these kids can eat. Listen, I know you want to play the game the right way, but if you clock this dude with an elbow, these kids now get to find a dad.
So stupid.
It's so conflicting.
It's just terrible. Like,
all right, well, this guy has a torn ACL, but now these kids can get to school on time.
NBA, don't listen to us, please.
This is the weirdest dumb rule.
Yeah, this went to the worst possible place. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what would be a better alternative. It's like, all right, now that you're fined, we now have to give it to Jeff Bezos and just like, oh, now I feel guilty about it. Or like, or terrible. I think even better would be like, we have to set your money on fire in front of you. Like, it doesn't even go anywhere. It's just like, hey, you know, just that like bonus Joker. That you got?
Just like the Joker, bro. Just, it's a message.
Yeah, exactly. That would be a great clout thing. Just like, yo, I've got more cash fires than anybody.
That's terrible. All right. That's all our questions for today.
With that stupid suggestion, we just answered your questions. Thanks, everybody.
Ah, Jesus.
Awesome. Anything you're wanting to touch on before we head out of here, man?
Nope.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for submitting your questions. This is super, super fun. Your questions are, hell, it's more than half of the podcast at this point. So we just think of it as a fun conversation between Mavs fans and beer fans. So if you guys could like and subscribe, that'd be fantastic. If you guys, again, submit questions at Reddit Mavericks. He puts up that thread once a week. It's probably one of the most fun things that we do during the week. We really appreciate you guys listening, you guys participating. You're really what are making the show. We're going to have some of y'all on the podcast very soon once we can actually dedicate some time to it. All things considered, again, congrats to Chris on the new baby girl. That's fantastic. We appreciate you, bud. He's been one of our fantastic listeners for forever. So thanks again, bud. You're just a model family for us. Speaking of model families, you can find us at mffls.com. That's a terrible segue, but go to the website. We share this to people that like beer as well. You know, we'd really like to get more in touch with the brewery community. Especially, we want to really promote local breweries on this podcast, and we're going to see about interviewing some head brewers at some places, specifically in the Dallas area, just to get them going. And we're gonna do some collaborations fairly soon. We got some fun plans in store. So continue listening. We really appreciate you guys. For Ruben, I've been Don Denham. This has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Later, guys.